Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to The Scorecard.
Many doubted we'd ever see it.
Where we focus on Chicagoland and national golf news.
And here it is. The return to glory.
Can't help but think of the long one he made in San Diego to pick up his first PGA Tour win in style. Here it comes. Here it
watch out!
Comes!
And there's no doubt about it. The bear has come out of hibernation.
With your hosts, Score golf expert and editor of Chicago District Golfer magazine, Barry Cronin.
Well, here it comes.
Oh my goodness.
And Mike Esposito.
In your life have you seen anything like that?
Johnny, that's better than most.
How about in?
That is better than most.
Presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine on 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome into The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. I'm Mike Esposito, glad to be alongside you this morning. Also joining us, of course, the editor of Chicago District Golfer Magazine and my partner, Barry Cronin. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning, Michael. How are you? Always great to talk to you.
Good to talk to you as well. I am great, and I am reminded, not that I didn't necessarily know this, but you know, you're just, your brain's not necessarily thinking, but this is the one show during the year when we actually have live scoring going on while we're talking. So because they're in Europe playing at the British Open, and I love it. So I'm here for that.
Exactly, Mike, and We're going to try to keep up with that scoring, whether we can or not here at the world headquarters.
Yes, absolutely. So lots of British Open talk today. We're excited about that at the old Royal St. George's in Sandwich, southeast of London there in merry old England, the British Open. And what about it? We actually talked about it not too long ago. Our old buddy Louis Oosthuizen. And his major, his majors, the man, it's like, you look up, it's like, oh, you know, if I were one of those sports betting guys, which I'm not, I would be very tempted, to throw some cash on our buddy Louis in the majors.
Yeah. You know, Mike, Louis is unbelievable. And you got to think that how determined he must be to get this done after, he's had, I think, six runners up in his career, and two of them this year, the U.S. Open and the PGA. And, of course, we remember famously at the U.S. Open when he was standing on the 17th tee, and he had the entire state of California to his right, and he had the Pacific Ocean and a big barranca, as they like to call it, to his left, and he made the mistake of pulling his tee shot into the barranca, which is, I think, what happens when you don't make the full turn. You know, you get a little quick, and there the ball goes left. And that's what happened. And so I have to think there's a lot of self-loathing on his part with regard to that. And, you know, I'm sure he's just that much more determined to get it done today. Although, in saying that, he's got a couple of he's got some real good players right behind him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, including Colin Morikawa, mm-hmm. who looks like he's, I mean, his iron game is great. And, of course, we know he won the PGA Championship in 2020. And then, of course, Jordan Spieth is right one shot behind him. And Dustin Johnson is one shot behind him at 7-under par. And there's a few other guys tied. Mm-hmm. Tied. So, you know, I think it's going to be it's going to be a great weekend, isn't it fun?
Yeah.
When we see all these guys up at the leaderboard and big names, and such a great venue, Royal St. George's. So I love the British Open. It's just so great. Although it's on a little bit early in the day for me. You know, Mike, it's great that it's on during our show, but it came on like at 2 hours ago, and I'm like, I don't know if I get up for that.
Yeah, that could be a DVR and then kind of catch up as you go here. But yeah, I mean the leaderboard is amazing. You know, you got down and mentioned through DJ, he's tied with among others champion from a few years ago at the John Deere Classic, Dylan Fratelli at 7-under,
right.
At 5-under. John Rahm shot a 64 yesterday. He and Koepka among the players tied at 5-under. Still within shouting distance there. So lots going on. Rory's playing well today. He's 2-under through 4, but that only leaves him at 2-under for the tournament after par 70s in the first two rounds. But Rory making a slight move, I guess you could say. But good stuff and live golf during our show, which we always love here on the scorecard. So,
although, Mike, I have to say, with regard to the live golf, they just changed to the ladies' tournament. The Golf Channel just turned to the ladies' tournament. So I think that means I have to go to the Peacock Network, which I don't know. You know, I got to do some app or whatever, which I'm not doing because I can't take it. So we've got the ladies' golf on right now.
There you go. Now we have to. Yeah, exactly.
They're not live. That's from yesterday.
They're asking you and I to figure things out, which is never good when it comes to our technology. But
no, they must think we're not Americans. We like it easy.
That's right. Just put it on easy for us.
Exactly.
No, so we have lots of fun planned for you today. In addition to all the British Open talk, let me give you a quick rundown of our show. At 6:20, we will talk to the winner of the 2021 Illinois Women's Open, Tristan Nolan. She won that at Mistwood. She's an Illini, which I already love her, and she
yes.
also won the Michigan Women's Open this summer, so she is doing extremely well, is Tristan. We'll talk to her at 6:20. Andy Michelson on our Swing Thoughts segment, head pro at Mistwood, the host site of next week's Illinois State Amateur. We will talk to Andy at 6:40 and hopefully get some tips. Lord knows you and I are always open, and I know our listeners are, to free golf tips. We'll take those. We'll have our guest live at 7 o'clock, live from England, Barry, which, you know, we're an international show. People, I'm sure, streaming us by the dozens overseas. We will have Bob Herrig, longtime golf writer from ESPN.com on. He is there at the British Open. He will join us. Bob is a local native. He's been on the show before. We always enjoy talking to Bob, a longtime golf writer. You know him from ESPN.com. We will get the latest from Bob at 7. And then at 7:40, Mulby Dillard IV. You've seen him on Chicago District Golfer magazine on the cover. He plays down at Florida A&M. He is the number one, the top-ranked minority college golfer in the nation. He's from Hyde Park, went to Whitney Young, now at Florida A&M. We will talk to Mulby at 7:40. And lots of British Open talk, which we will continue right now. And we mentioned some of the leaders and the great leaderboard that we have. I did see this on Twitter yesterday, and I kind of marked it here. Louis Oosthuizen's position after his last nine championship rounds in majors, 1-1-2, tied for first, third, first, second, third, first.
Yeah.
That is not bad. After
it's unbelievable. No, it's unbelievable. And he, of course, set the British Open record, scoring record, for 11 under par after two rounds. So, yeah, he's playing great. And, of course, Mike, one thing you probably noticed when you turned on the British Open is that it doesn't look like the British Open. It looks like the Bob Hope Desert Classic because there's no rain, there's no wind. The sun is out. It's perfect conditions. So you wonder, well, is this the British Open? Normally you see a lot of bad weather, but they've had fabulous weather. Mm-hmm. And that obviously has helped scoring quite a bit. One defense of these links golf courses, you know, there's no trees. So that's one defense gone. Of course, if you get offline and you hit it pretty far into the fescue and everything, that's hard to get out of. Mm-hmm. But basically there's really not a lot for them to have to contend with. And the green speeds are low, as they have to be, because if they do get wind and et cetera, the greens can be too fast to putt, so they've got to leave them around 10 on the stimp meter, which is not that fast. So it's interesting on the leaderboard in that case where you see guys like Morikawa, when he's got a little putting trouble. He's not always the greatest putter on these fast greens. You see him messing around with his grip. And when he did win the PGA, it was kind of wet conditions, and the greens were a little bit slow. So you see this Emilio Grillo from South America. He's a great ball striker, but he's always...
Yep, I see. We seem to have lost our friend Barry there. We will effort getting him back, and we will continue to talk here on the British Open. Barry, are you back there?
I am back, and you know, I'm glad you did. You have the seven second delay, because I did when I heard I was disconnected, said something. So that was not good.
No,
I'm glad you didn't hear it.
We had dead air for a second there, and then I started talking, and I'm sure I said nothing intelligent because you were in mid sentence.
Anyway, it's the conditions in England, good old Sandwich England, are very good. And of course, Mike, we have the ongoing, never ending controversial man, Bryson DeChambeau.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
After his first round, he shot one over par. He shot 71. And I think Louis shot six under, and Spieth had a really good round, et cetera. And he afterward was doing his whole emotional poor me deal. And he started to condemn Cobra. Cobra is his company, his equipment company that's been with him since he turned pro. And he was talking about how his driver didn't work. He said, my driver sucks. And so this is unbelievable, really, when you think about it. I mean, he's being
really
paid a lot of money. I mean, it's okay. You know, the sports radio community loves it when the players are transparent. But then we also condemn them, saying, well, that's so stupid that you were transparent. So he condemned his driver and his equipment company. And then the guy that caddied for him last week, who is in charge of handling him for Cobra, came out and said, you know, basically Bryson's being very selfish and he's acting like an eight-year-old. Mm-hmm. And they ripped him back.
Yep.
So then he came out and apologized on Twitter. And then, of course, Brooks Koepka yesterday, during his little post-round interview, he was talking, and then he said, oh, yeah, I'm hitting it really good. And then he says, I love my driver. And then he kept going on, you know, as if just to slip it in to kind of mess around with Bryson. And then even Justin Thomas, I noticed, took a little fun shot at Bryson. So it's going to be an interesting Ryder Cup experience for our captain, Steve Stricker from Illinois. I mean, I don't know. It's just terrible what's going on to me. I just, in a way, you know, it's not a good look for the Ryder Cup team as they go to Kohler, Wisconsin, to Whistling Straits in late September. And, I mean, it's not that far away. It's only a couple of months away. So, I don't really like it.
No, and you know what? I mean, as you said, I mean, it's, I guess some of it is entertaining. I mean, to me, this thing, you hit it on the head. Actually, the Cobra guy hit it right on the head. This is just dumb, and he's acting like a baby. You know, your longtime equipment sponsor who is paying you a ton of dough is, you know, all of a sudden, I guess you have a bad round and they get the bus. You know, here's the front of the bus, Cobra. But, you know, Bryson, you're not playing very well. And, you know, I did look as we were talking here. He's through 12 today and he's plus three on the day. Not so great. Or plus two on the day. Sorry, plus three for the tournament. But Bryson is down there tied for 67th. And, he's a guy who we were contemplating. I mean, you're talking about the Ryder Cup. He's a guy who has been in recent memory, you know, amongst the best players in the world. And he's struggling a bit and he's letting everyone know it. I did enjoy the Koepka, the gentle or whatever you want to call it. But I'm hit. You know, my driver's going great. Thanks for asking. You know, that made me laugh.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's wound up, I think, kind of winning the argument with Bryson. Bryson's very emotional and very, and let's face it, you know, people are very enamored of him or at least interested in him because he was trying to get to a ball speed of 206 miles an hour, and he was up on the driving range trying to do that. When you hit the ball, when your ball speed is 200 miles an hour, if you hit a little bit off center, it's going to go, man. It's going to go anywhere it wants to go. So, and if you have a situation at the British Open where you've got all that deep fescue, you're going to hit it in the fescue if you're not perfect. And that's the problem. I mean, he can get around courses in the U.S. and bomb and gouge the ball. But this is a test. This golf course is testing more than that. They're not allowing you to just go around and bomb and gouge. And if you look at people like, look at Jordan Spieth, not a bomber or a gouger, or really Morikawa either. I mean, these guys hit it 300 yards off the tee, basically, or maybe a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But they're not bombers per se. These guys are Morikawa in particular with a tremendous iron game. I mean, man, he was putting his approach shots to the green so close yesterday that it was making the putting almost easy for him. So anyway, poor Bryson. Yep. He made the cut on the number, and now he had to tee off while our show is on the air.
That's right.
You know, which tells you that's pretty early.
Yes, it is. Plenty more from the British Open on the show. We are broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. The Tech Zone, brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time and shop online at rosenhyundai.com. Barry, a few texts I want to read to you before we take our break. From Ming 773, he says, "Morning, Louis is not a closer. Once he's caught, he'll fold." That from our guy Ming. And Peoria Matt asks, jokingly, as he always does, "Has Bryson complained about anything today?" Not yet, Matt. He will get there. He has not hit the post-game press conference yet, so we have to give him some time.
I would tell you how long you would have to wait for the complaint, but I don't know where he is on the golf course because I'm watching the repeat of the ladies' golf from yesterday.
Well, Barry, and that is why I'm here from you. He is playing 13, and we've got to give him a few more holes. But
he's on 13.
His post-round interview should be, let's give him an hour and a half for that.
Yeah, that's about right.
We should be just finishing up, Matt. So if we have any breaking Bryson complaining, we will certainly let you guys know. We do need to take a quick break. When we come back, we will talk to Tristan Nolan, the winner of the Illinois Women's Open at Mistwood, and we look forward to doing that next. It's The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine on 670 The Score.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And welcome back to the Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. We are in England this week, Barry. English Rock.
English Rock with the Clash.
We love the Clash.
Yes, absolutely.
And we'll see how Bryson invokes the Clash in his post-game press conference. His post-round press conference. I keep calling it post-game. Post-round press conference there at Royal St. George's in Sandwich.
He may need something. He'd be better off them playing over his quotes than actually being quoted.
Absolutely. Well, and we're excited to talk to our next guest, Barry. We jump on out to the Score Hotline brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. She is the 2021 Illinois Women's Open winner, also won the Michigan Women's Open. She's an Illini. You open her Twitter page, it's orange and blue, and I love it for it. It's Tristan Nolan who joins us. Good morning, Tristan. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Great. Thank you so much for being with us, Tristan. You won the Illinois Women's Open a couple of weeks ago. So tell us a little bit about that tournament. How did you accomplish it?
I think I've played, it's been four tournaments now at Mistwood Golf Club. I love that place. Very beautiful. A great challenge, too. Very risk-reward course. I've gotten runner-up in two of those tournaments. So, you know, I think that gave me a little bit of an edge going in, just knowing the course so well and knowing that I could play great. It also helped having my former teammate up there being on the bag. She's living up in Chicago right now, so she got to come down and play a little bit with us during the practice round and kind of keep me relaxed throughout the tournament. And then Crystal, my teammate.
And who is that caddy for you?
Bing Singh Somali. She graduated a year before me, so.
Okay.
But it was just a lot of fun. And Crystal, my teammate, she's going into her senior year now. She got to play right in front of me during the final round. So we were able to kind of go back to our collegiate routine of waving once we finish out the hole, just to kind of send positive vibes. So it was a lot of fun.
Great. I just don't have the scores in front of me. How much did you win by? What was the story there?
I won by two at Mistwood. It was a tight match with Lukey there at the end, but kind of came out on top on 17 and then was able to par 18. But it was definitely a close match because I entered the day with only one shot lead.
Now, great. Tristan, you're a fifth year. You're going for your master's, correct, at U of I?
Yes, I graduated undergrad, and I'm actually finishing up my master's in August, so I'm just taking one class, so almost there.
Yep, no, and I saw on your Twitter, your pinned tweet, tell us about the Big Ten Medal of Honor, because I know that's quite a thing, and you and Michael Carr from men's wrestling are featured on there.
Yeah, just hearing that, you know, I had even been considered for that award was an extreme honor, and to actually come out and receive it. I'm very, very grateful. You know, Illinois is really my second home, and I love that entire community, all of the staff, all of our resources, my coaches, my teammates, really just Champaign-Urbana. It's my second home, and to receive that means a lot, and I can't wait to, you know, use that platform to kind of share my passion for, you know, sports, golf, and then also the university with others.
And I have to ask, because you're a Kentucky native, so how did you wind up at Illinois?
Yeah, I will say, you know, through the whole recruiting process, going north wasn't necessarily appealing for, right, you know, wanting to play golf year round. But I mean, as you all probably well know, that facility enables us to hit whatever type of shot we want to hit at whatever time of year. And then also just being able to see the culture that Coach Sloan and then also Coach Smalls created for Illinois. You know, they gave us the best position and the resources to kind of pursue whatever career we want, whether that's professional golf or being successful academically. I felt that Illinois would give me the best chance to succeed as a professional, and I definitely made the right choice.
And how did you start playing golf, Tristan? Is it in your family? Is a lot of times people's parents are in the industry or whatever. How'd you get going?
Yeah, so my dad was actually super, super into golf when he was younger. He would pretty much go out every single day and play. So when I came around, he took me out. I was probably about 5 or 6. I had no idea what I was doing. I would use his clubs, which were probably twice my size.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, but he actually took me out to what's still my home course in Richmond, Kentucky, Gibson Bay Golf Course, and he introduced me to my still swing coach, Jason Eberle. And I started actually at a junior clinic when I was about 6 years old, and then just sort of progressed from there, started playing in tournaments, and still working closely with Jason. So it's an interesting story.
That's great. And for those of us who are geographically challenged, which for people in Chicago is any place south of Kankakee, where is Richmond, Kentucky in the great scheme of things?
It is pretty much right in central Kentucky. If you know where Lexington is, I live about 20 minutes south of there.
Oh, Lexington's a beautiful place. Beautiful place.
Oh, yes. Beautiful land.
Yeah. And they had a PGA Tour event in Lexington last week, or this week, right, against the British Open.
Yeah. Barbasol.
So, Barbasol. Yeah, of course, Barbasol. I use it all the time. now, you won the Michigan Open. While you're getting your Masters, you're playing all these tournaments. You won the Michigan Open and the Illinois Open. Have you played in other events, and what else are you doing this summer?
So I actually just finished the Kentucky Women's Open about 2 days ago. Didn't play the best in that one, but it was still a fun event. It was actually only 36 holes. And then this upcoming Wednesday, I head down to Fairfield Glade, Tennessee, for the Tennessee Women's Open. Then I will head down to Florida, and then it's Q School in Cali in the middle of August.
So you've already turned pro then, I assume?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. So that's good. So I hope you made big bucks at the Illinois Women's Open. Somebody ponied up some serious cash.
Yeah, very grateful for that. I'm going to use, I guess we're calling this like the State Open Tour. So whatever money I can make from these events, I'm going to use for Q School to kind of bring my dreams to reality. I'm excited.
How different, you know, I know Nick Hardy a few years ago, obviously a great star at Illinois. When he left and he turned pro, he got a deal with Nike, I believe. And so they gave him a lot of money. He could go out and play the Korn Ferry Tour, and he's doing great. You know, he's making money on that tour, but he's also got a sponsor that kind of is a backstop for him, you know. And I'm just wondering, how is it for women golfers? Is that something that you have or that other maybe women who graduated from college golf into the pro scene? Is that a thing?
I think there's a little bit of a difference, like men and women wise, just because, I mean, at this point, I really haven't had a whole lot of opportunities for sponsorships. I've had a couple people reach out. But, you know, I think the guys might be in a little bit better of a position to take advantage pretty much as soon as they end their collegiate career, just because their visibility seems to be a little bit better. but I do have a couple sponsorships lining up, and I plan on creating maybe like a GoFundMe just to kind of increase visibility and things like that. But in it for the long run, so we'll kind of take it one step at a time, just because it's also new.
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah, and Barry, go ahead.
Oh, and I was just going to say, and then after the State Open Tour, then you go to California, right, for the and for the qualifying school to try to get on the Symetra Tour. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. So there's Stage 1, Stage 2, and Q School. So and Q Series. So if I make it all the way to Q Series, I'll actually have my LPGA card, which would be convenient.
Oh, that would be that awesome.
That would be extremely convenient. And so you're finishing your master's, and I know that's on the horizon. You mentioned you're in this for the long haul. So how is this? I mean, you're at this point in your life, right? I mean, you finished, your collegiate career. You're finishing your master's. I mean, I've got to assume this has been your lifetime goal, right, since you've started playing. So it's got to be pretty surreal having all this happening for you at the same time. All your hard work paying off.
Yeah, it's, I think, definitely over this past year, 2020, took us all for kind of a whirlwind, and just kind of seeing everything come to fruition in 2021 I'm very grateful for that. You know, you say it's kind of been a lifelong dream. I really actually didn't decide to play college golf until, probably my sophomore, junior year of high school. And then throughout college, I majored in kinesiology during undergrad, and I wanted to be a physical therapist. And then as I got better and as I got, I guess, more addicted to the game, I realized, I want to do this for as long as I can, and I want to play at the highest level that I can. And I'm thankful that I'm able to do that now.
Well, we're so thankful to have had you on the show, Tristan. And you talked about your runner-up finishes at Mistwood, and we had talked earlier about Louis Oosthuizen and all of his runner-up finishes I'm sure you're familiar with. So maybe he really can get it done this week at the British Open. So you'll be inspiration to him.
Thank you so much. Wishing him the best. I hope he does pull it off.
Thank you
so much.
All right,
Tristan. Thank you for being with us. We really appreciate it.
Of course. You all have a good one.
Thank you.
You too. That's Tristan Nolan. She is, as you just heard, she's playing on the State Open Tour, as she called it, former Illinois star. Hopefully we'll get her LPGA Tour card this year, but awesome to talk to her. And she did win the Illinois Women's Open a few weeks back at Mistwood. And speaking of Mistwood, Barry, this is what we in the radio business call a seg, our spring thoughts segment. From Mistwood, the head pro there, Andy Michelson, will join us. Andy will tell us what we could do to better our games. And Lord knows, at least I speak for myself, we can all use it. Barry, you shot. We will talk about our round next week. But Barry and I got to play earlier this week out at the Glenview Club, and Barry schooled us all. Me included,
no, but
he hits him straight. He's the straight man on the show. That would not be me. Anyway, we'll talk to Andy Michelson. He will tell me how to hit it straight next. He's from Mistwood, and he's next here on The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. Barry Cronin, Mike Esposito on 670 The Score.
Just let it happen. Be the ball. Be the ball, Danny. You're not being the ball, Danny.
Well, it's kind of difficult with you talking like
that. Okay, I'm not talking. Stop talking.
And now, The Scorecard presents Swing Thoughts. Some free advice from the best teachers in the game.
And it is that time of the show when we do our Swing Thoughts, try to get some tips for all of our listeners on how to improve their game. To do that, we head on out to the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. The head pro from Mistwood Golf Course, Andy Michelson, is joining us. Hey, Andy, good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Good morning, Andy. Great to have you with us today. And as Mistwood prepares for the Illinois State Amateur coming up this coming week or early next week, and what are you guys doing to get the course ready, Andy?
Well, we put a little teeth into it this year. We're excited to, first of all, be hosting the event. With the rains we've had the last few weeks, we're trying our best to get the course nice and kind of firm, dried out. We've grown the rough up a little bit, so we're trying to create a pretty nice challenge for the players this upcoming week, but still provide a very fair test for everybody.
Right. And Tristan Nolan, who won the Illinois Women's Amateur, was just on a few minutes ago talking about how much she loved the golf course. And we know that it's not your typical Midwestern parkland type of golf course with tree-lined fairways on both sides. It's really kind of in a wide open area, and you've got a lot of fescue grass, which of course reminds us of this week's British Open at Royal St. George's. One of the shots that we have seen out there, although not as much as you would if the wind was blowing harder at the British Open, is the knockdown shot. And I'm just wondering if you might be able to talk to us a little bit about that shot and whether some of the players next week might find have that come in handy, and how do we do it anyway?
Yeah, so if you get a club handy, make some room, and we'll go through that. So basically, to keep the ball low, we kind of want to have a lot of swing thoughts that center around that, around keeping the ball low. So I'm going to have, it all kind of starts in setup. So I'm going to have my ball position to be, center or maybe a little bit back. I'm going to have more pressure kind of in my feet. So I'm going to have a little bit more pressure forward in my feet towards my target and away from my target, because, again, I'm trying to hit it a little bit lower. So we want to kind of maintain that pressure forward in our stance, and then have our hands a little bit forward. So we're going to have more of the grip of the club pointed towards our front hip, and we're going to try and maintain that position, as we're making the swing. And then we've all heard the term, when the wind's blowing, when it's breezy, swing easy. Basically, what that means is take a little extra club. Swing well within yourself. Don't be trying to make a swing that puts you off balance. I always say to my students a good kind of checkpoint when it's all said and done is, to have the head and the shaft kind of pointed right back at your stomach when you finish. We don't want to be making this big finish, because if we're trying to hit it low, we want to have a nice low finish where the head and shaft is pointed at the target and the butt of the club is pointed back at our stomach. So that's really a good way to knock it down. And I would say one of the other things you can learn, especially from, a week like this watching the British Open, is we don't always need to put the ball straight up in the air when we're hitting chips, when we're around the greens hitting pitch shots. Flight that ball down, bring it in a little bit lower, let that ball run out, and let it run to the hole. We don't always have to be flying it all the way to the hole like we like to do. Grab a lot of loft and throw way up in the air. Take a little less loft and get that ball rolling on the ground.
So, Andy, in terms of how far we can hit, how far away from the green we can hit a knockdown shot, I mean, are we talking 100 yards? Are we talking 50 yards? And then how do we decide what club to use when we're doing this? I mean, a lot of people just hit a sand wedge of 56 degrees, 58 degrees, whatever, 54.
Hello? Mike here. Barry's having technical difficulties, but no, and I was going to ask you about, Barry had mentioned the St. Andrews style bunkers and the feel really of the course. And I know you guys recently at Misswood had a multi-year renovation. How has that? I know from what I have seen personally that I think that has been extremely well received.
Yeah, and it has kind of the look and feel very much of what you're seeing this week. I mean, some of the things that's very unique to Misswood itself, we have the stacked sidewall bunkers throughout the golf course. The wind does blow a little bit out of Misswood. So the conditions that you see very similar to this week are what you would normally play at Misswood. It's definitely not a parkland style. It's definitely more of a links style, but a unique feature that we have in our properties, we have a 68-acre lake that much of the back nine wraps around. So it's a very unique property for the area.
Now, I know you made your first appearance in the PGA Professional Championship this year, made the cut and everything. How was that for you, and how did you enjoy? I'm sure you enjoyed playing, but how did that go for you in terms of prep and really getting back into it?
Yeah, I mean, it was a really cool learning experience. Being in that field with the best PGA professionals in the country, definitely just kind of had a lot of elements to overcome. You know, it's early in the year for us, being Midwest guys. So finding ways to train, I was trying to hit as many balls as I could leading up to the event in the dome and as we got to the golf course, and just trying to best prepare myself. And then when we, got down to Florida and we're playing against, those type of players, making sure that I had kind of plenty of practice rounds under my belt and felt comfortable on the grasses and just the different elements, but definitely a learning experience and something that I hope to be competing in for years to come. I mean, the ultimate goal for every PGA professional that's competitive is to find a way to get in that top 20 and make the PGA championship.
Yeah, no doubt. And we've talked about that on our show. We have a, just natural, right? You root for guys like yourself, the PGA pros, as they make it into there, into the championship. And certainly wish that for you. But so you mentioned working in the dome, and I know the Misswood Performance Center is an indoor facility that you guys offer. I assume when you're teaching and when you have your students in there, you do both the indoor, you do the outdoor, you do whatever it takes, and you have the technology there too, correct?
Yeah, we're a 12-month operation. One of the main technology elements that we use throughout the year, we partner with TopTracer. So we have TopTracer both at our performance center at Mistral Golf Club, and then also at the Golf Dome. And then when we're kind of taking it to the next level, having our students get fit, we have Sam Putt Lab, TrackMan, and all those other elements to really kind of take their practice and training to the next level.
Yeah, no, and I'm sure you guys have seen a lot of the boom, I guess you would call it, that the game of golf, certainly within the last year.
Absolutely.
When Barry and I started doing the show last season, and it was a little delayed because of lockdown, but when we finally got back on the air, I know there was some skepticism, I guess would be the word. You know, nobody knew what was coming. Nobody knew how the year was going to go. Everyone was coming off of hard lockdown, but really the industry, I think, exploded out of that. And it sounds like you guys saw a lot of that as well. Andy?
And being kind of involved in the process as we were kind of coming out of lockdowns with the Illinois PGA board, it was actually amazing. I mean, how it just kind of opened wide open and the floodgates opened. And, for me, I love the fact that people are seeing it as kind of a reprieve, being able to get outside, being able to exercise, being able to, get away from the worries and concerns that the pandemic brought about.
Now, I think we have Barry back. Barry?
Yes, I'm here, but in a different, I sound a little different, I believe.
Yes, you do.
sorry, I missed a little bit about that, a little bit of that, Andy, but, and certainly Mistwood, you guys had a great year last year, and bring us up to date on what's going on this year. I imagine it's similar, but with people now starting to commute, I see a lot more traffic than I did a year ago. People going to work, people actually going to work, which is hard to believe. How's it going? How have you experienced this year so far?
Yeah, I mean, for us, really, golf hasn't slowed down. And when I talk to kind of my colleagues at other courses, it's much in the same way. The foundation that was made last year for golf was extremely fortunate. Again, people saw it as a great alternative. A lot of new people get into the game. I mean, there's some elements that happened last year that aren't going to go away, and that's why I think this golf boom is really going to be sustained for a while. I mean, you know, for us personally, we went from one PGA Junior League team to three PGA Junior League teams. We had so many new clients and customers coming to us for lessons for the first time or getting back into the game. And those are things that don't just go away in a year. You know, people will continue to play golf, continue to try and play golf. And some of the best times that they had or the best memories that they had from 2020 were on the golf course. So they want to keep reliving that. And I think this is here to stay for a while. So golf's in a really good spot for at least a few years to come.
You know, well, Andy, not every golf course invites tournaments to come in, you know, because it takes away tee times from where they could be selling tee times to people. Tell us a little bit, and you've had the Illinois Women's Open. Now you're going to have the Illinois State Amateur. Why do you do that?
I think it's because we tend to see the bigger picture from a cultural standpoint. We understand that hosting events like this or hosting you know, some of the most prestigious events in the state just kind of put us in a different realm compared to other public golf courses. You know, when you look at an event like the State Am, there really hasn't been a whole lot of public golf courses that have hosted this event. You know, one that comes to mind right off the bat is a place like Cantini. But outside of that, there really isn't a whole lot of public golf courses that are willing to basically set aside the week for the best players in the state to come play. And for us, you know, we went through a list, this is probably 6 or 7 years ago, but went through a list of tournaments that we were targeting. I mean, we would love to host some type of national championship. We did that with the Women's Western Am a few years back. We're continuously a host of the Illinois Women's Open. And then, believe me, State Am was right up there close to the top on our radar. I could see us eventually hosting a Illinois Open someday as well. So we want to make sure that we're a venue that, you know, is kind of top of mind when people think of tournament golf.
Well, Andy, we certainly appreciate you jumping on this morning and telling us about everything going on at Misswood, and thanks for your tips there. So the next time we come out, we'll be able to hit properly on some of the holes there. Barry, as I've already learned, is already well prepared to do that. I could use all the help we can get. So we do appreciate your time though this morning, Andy.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks.
Thank you,
Andy. Andy Michelson, head pro at Mistwood, on our Swing Thoughts segment. We do appreciate all of our PGA pros who join us, and Andy was kind enough to join us this week from Mistwood, Barry.
Yes, good man, and that Illinois the Illinois Amateur this coming week will be a good one. There's a good field of players, and we'll see how the golf course stands up. It looks like they're going to have good weather. So that'll be good. We won't have just, you know, we've had rain and clouds for the last week. But hopefully next week looks like it's going to be a good weather week and should be a good tournament. The Chicago District Golf Association runs that event, and I know they're all pumped up about it at the CDGA. So it'll be great.
Absolutely. And I didn't even get to ask Andy. We talked about him making an appearance in the PGA Professional Championship. But he is also a recently elected member of the Bradley University Athletics Hall of Fame. And I was gonna give him some kudos for that, and I didn't have time. But next time, we'll have to do that. When we come back, Barry, here on the scorecard, out to Royal St. George's we go in good old Sandwich, England, where the British Open is being broadcast. Longtime ESPN.com golf writer Bob Herrig will join us. We're excited to talk to Bob, catch up about everything that's going on at the British Open. That is when we return here on the Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. He's Barry Cronin. I'm Mike Esposito. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.